Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Happy Easter. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I promise we're not going to talk about grilling Haas and Pfeffer today, but we are going to celebrate the Easter weekend with you. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, and thanks for joining us. It is the biggest Christian holiday of the year, and when we all celebrate, the greatest sacrifice that was ever made for mankind. And we're going to help you celebrate it with just a couple ideas to feed the folks that come over to your place,
right?
And maybe give you some ideas.
Speaking of feeding the folks, I'm remiss that I didn't mention that we are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And if I don't mention that, we don't eat, so that's good. But
We are live from Standard Kitchens and Lumber Showroom, and I'm still going to work on getting that to roll off my tip of my
tongue. Because we're not at the showroom, we're at the studio.
I did put showroom.
But anyway, I'm good with it. I know where I am, and I hope you do too.
That's why you were harassing me last week. See, we do these show plans, and I make up a template with our show on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I can pull the same template out every week and fill in the blanks.
That's why we talk about the same thing every week, right?
And on the opening of each segment, I wrote, live from Standard Kitchen Showroom. I pulled it off your website.
Well, we'd love to have you stop by, because that's where we all make it happen. But anyway, we are in the studio today.
And pretty soon we're going to be talking about rebuilding your decks, and then we're going to really need to hone in on those showrooms, because we're going to need your help there desperately.
Right, I got those experts.
There's a lot of bad decks out there, brother.
Right, yeah, I got experts coming out my expert. So
I'll jump ahead on my show plan, and I'll talk about decks.
Okay.
I have issues with that big deck in the back. And, I have a kitchen on one end, and I've been threatening to rebuild it, and yada, yada. And I should have put a roof over it. I should have put a roof over it when I rebuilt my house.
Right.
Because that would have been the easy way. But you know how budgets go and everything. And gosh, so I was looking at it last weekend. I was home alone. The wife was off on a junket. Imagine that.
At least you were looking at your deck.
And I walked out and looked at the whole thing and just tried to think, what's going to look good?
Right.
And here I've got this 44-foot deck. In the middle of it, underneath, there's some sliders coming out of the lower level.
Right.
Which is gutted right now thanks to a broken pipe.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking, I've already got concrete there and part of a roof over it. How about if I build a roof under that and just put all my grilling stuff right there? The only downfall is I got to go down the steps to get to the grill. But guess what? In the winter, I got to fight snow and all kinds of other stuff on that other location. And in the summer, it's hot as bejeepers back there because the sun just bakes that south end of my house.
I thought you had like a little awning over top of that.
No, no, I don't. I've just got the deck. But I figured out a cool way to make some wedge mounts and just screw a corrugated steel roof underneath it like my buddy did on his. It turned out really cool. And then over time, maybe I can screen it and have a screened area so I can grill without mosquitoes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I know your backyard, and I think that's a B-plus plan. I don't think it's plan A, only because I don't like having to walk down with all my food and all my accompaniments that go with it and all my tools. Your tools will be down there.
I'll have it all set.
You either got to go downstairs through the inside of the house
exactly
and go out the door.
Exactly,
and then when you're done, though, you got to bring all your food back up. That'd be the only thing that I don't like about it.
I understand that.
Right?
And that's the bullet I'm taking on it.
Right.
Is that I will have to walk up and downstairs.
Right.
But on the other hand, it'll be far enough away that, especially if a bud's over and we're going to go do some grilling, we can go down there, hang out in the shade, do the grilling.
Get away from everybody.
That's
right. Okay, I'm with you.
There's something kind of sinister here. I mean, perfect here. But I wanted to mention, I did a recipe on a pork loin that I was all excited about. I photographed it. I put it on our website. I didn't put it on our website. I put it on Facebook. And I told you I'd post it on the website, but when I got done with it, I was not happy. And here's the thing. It was a pork loin that I semi-butterflied, and I put some Swiss and spinach in it, and then I did a beautiful cranberry topping that I got at Old World Olive Company, blood orange, cranberry, raspberry. That was the best part of the deal. Here's the problem. When you stuff a pork loin, you have to cook it for quite a long time to get that center done. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you overcook the outside of a pork loin?
Well, you might as well chew on the tongue of your shoe.
Yeah. So I'm going to vary that, and I'm going to try another version. I've got another loin standing by, and I'm going to totally butterfly it in a pinwheel fashion.
Well, butterflying it, let's stop there just a second. You're going to flatten that thing out. It's like the size of a softball.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it in.
You're going to cut a spiral around it until it gets flat and what, maybe like an inch thick?
Maybe.
A little thinner?
I'm going to do it nice and thin, very big and long, and then I'm going to do my pork chop trick with the oil and jacquard, and I'm going to pulverize it, and then I'm going to do my stuffing and try it that way, because when you do pork chops that way, they turn out tender and juicy. So I'm going to make another run at it, and I think I'm probably going to do it all indirect. I also did this one kind of over coals to give it a nice searing, and so the bottom of it got too tough. Anyway, the reason it's not
dude,
on the website.
This is screaming for a rotisserie.
It could be.
To turn it around. Now, are you putting any cheesy or anything that's going to ooze out of there?
Yep,
in
Swiss.
It? Swiss. So I don't know if you want to dink around with it, but put a bacon wrap on it, and it'll kind of seal it up. And then even if you got the bacon too done, throw it away.
I'm getting hungry.
But the inside might be protected if you throw a bacon wrap on it.
Now I'm starving, Marvin.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm
doing the Bob now.
Speaking
I'm
of bacon
taking
wrap.
A recipe and dinking around with it.
Okay, I'll do a job. Speaking of bacon wrap, I had a physical this week.
I seriously did. I went and saw my doctor, and because I'm 61, right? I haven't been there since I was 56. Every 5 years. And I've got the most
Bob,
frank.
That's a glove. Now, just trust me.
Oh, that's the worst part. But I'm okay. Right. But he I've
before
got,
or after are you
I've,
okay?
I've got Dr. Evenhaus is my doctor, Mark Evenhaus, and he's kind of dry, very frank. But he's my
Evenhaus is that a big-handed Dutch guy?
Yes,
or?
He is very big,
okay.
Very big.
Yeah.
He went to medical school.
Pay extra for that, don't you?
He went to medical school with our friend Stacy, and she said she hated having him in class because he made all their test scores look horrible.
Ah.
But shout out to Mark Evenhaus at Spectrum. He did a good job, and he was gentle on me.
Okay.
And I have no issues.
Right.
Other good. Than he said, you could lose a little bit of that belly.
Right.
I was like, aw, I'm working on it.
So he's not perfect.
He said, that's what you said last time.
Right. Well, it was 5 years ago, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, that was in his notes.
I did get to see Robin Trower after the show last weekend. It was fantastic. We had all met up at the Bob, and we went to Bomberitos for burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Oh, really?
It was a hockey puck.
Ooh.
Waited 40 minutes for a burnt hockey puck.
Wow.
Was not happy with the Bob in that situation.
Right, but the concert was good?
Concert was great. And great. 21 Monroe, whatever, live.
Monroe, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, live, yep.
22 Jump Street. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool venue. Well, the puppy arrived
This
week. Yep, little Lucy has found her home and already crawled into the hearts of Michelle and I, and she's going to be a good one. Smart, and we've got potty training 90% done in the first 5 days.
Wow.
So I think she had a little jump start. There was before she got here, but
somebody
really
spent some
cool
time with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so, really cool, whining to go out.
So now you can start training her to hunt with
right.
you.
Right, sleeping in a crate without the howling. Man, amazing. First dog I've ever had where you try to crate train them and they don't go through a week of howling. I think she's had that already too. But anyway, we can talk about that at another time. But anyway,
yeah,
coming up
awesome.
Next, we're going to talk about maybe the perfect Easter ham. Stick with us.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Welcome back. You're with the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Hope you're all getting teed up for a good Easter weekend, because that's what we're talking about. Maybe a little few things on the grill for Easter. What you thinking, Barbie Bob?
Yes, it's exactly what we're going to do. And what better for Easter than ham or lamb?
Right.
I am.
We'll cover lamb Sam a little later, but how about ham I am? Right.
Okay, so I'm not going to get too carried away with every step and ingredient on this. You can go to thegrillinguys.com, and if you just go up to the top right search bar and you punch in ham, you'll see a recipe, one of the many recipes that comes up. It'll say ham perfect every time. And I don't know if you remember way back when we did this, but this came from Cowboy Rob Russell. And when he first told me about it, I thought he was crazy. We did it at one of our classes out in New York, and I was poo-pooing him, and I'm like, come on, man, you can't recook a ham. And I just busted his chops. And he's like, I'm telling you, this is going to be good, and just put in there a couple of hours.
Right.
And
low temperature.
So I busted his chops until it was done, and son of a gun, it was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
So you're probably using a whole ham rather than a spiral cut one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So
you don't want to cut.
You're going to get like a 6 to 8 pound fully cooked ham. What I like bone in, but
right,
you can do either. Back in the 70s when I was in college here in Grand Rapids, I worked at Vandenbrink Meats.
Yep.
And we smoked hams.
No, you stole ham.
We smoked
from there. They dropped on the floor every yeah day.
Well, we smoked them, and the ones in the sock that were not boned were called regulars.
Okay.
In my opinion, the best ham is a regular.
Okay.
Because if you get the round ones, they stuff them in a casing, put gelatin in them, yada, yada. They're just not as good.
That guy likes that, too.
Yeah. Good buddy of mine knows I'm on the air.
Right.
So a regular is always the best in terms
and
of.
This is a bone-in ham. A regular.
Yep. Smoked in a sock.
Right. Yep.
So anyway, what we're going to do is the night before you plan to smoke it or bake it, we're going to mix up the ingredients on here, which is pepper, paprika, sugar, salt, a little dry mustard, and some cayenne. And you're going to massage grapeseed oil per rob, and then cover the surface of the ham with a seasoning mix. Wrap it in plastic and put it in the refrigerator for about 12 hours.
Okay, grapeseed oil, why? One, it has a higher temp for it to flash, and two, it has very little flavor.
There's no flavor.
Right.
Can't tell it's there.
Right. So it's using as a binding agent in this case for the seasoning more than a flavor.
If you don't have that, you can use motor oil.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to leave it overnight, and sometime or other, you're going to make up a mop sauce, which is basically chicken stock, pineapple juice, vegetable or grapeseed oil, dry mustard, and cloves. And you're going to warm that in a saucepan and simmer it for a little while, and then just keep it warm. The next morning, you're going to pull that ham out of the fridge, and you're going to throw it in the smoker, or you're going to put it in your oven at a low temp, like 275. And you're going to probably have to give it, or 250 is even better. You're going to probably have to give it 3 or 4 hours until that inner temperature reaches 150. Now, I left out a step here. What I would also recommend on that ham is that you do a diamond scoring pattern on there, about an eighth of an inch deep with a long, sharp knife. Spin that thing around and cut at a diagonal 45 degrees each direction so that when it's done, you get beautiful diamond-shaped patterns, because what's going to happen is as you heat that up, that scoring is going to release the skin, and it's going to want to kind of separate and spread out like an old-school flat iron will do. And when you're putting your marinade on there, when you're putting your basting sauce, your mop sauce on there, it allows it to run into the valleys and
penetrate a little bit. Yep.
And so if you can get a catch pan underneath it, do that.
Little roasting pan.
So you can reuse your
easy enough.
Little aluminum one or something. You can reuse some of that mop sauce. And then if you want to make up a glaze, I'm never big on this, but the glaze is honey, pineapple juice, again, dry mustard and cloves. And then you just baste that on generously the last 30 minutes while it's cooking. My wife loves the glaze, so if your wife has a sweet tooth or your better half, you might want to do the glaze.
And yeah.
A lot of people do like it. You can do it once a year for Easter.
And it's not overpowering. It's just
it's a nice sweet.
Right?
And that's why Heavenly Ham and Honey Baked and all those people made it so big, because they pounded the heck out of it with sugar.
Sure.
It's not healthy. It's Easter.
Right.
You're going to feed your soul, and this is just a treat.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things at Easter that are great about that. This tradition of eating a big meal and breaking bread with the family and getting everybody together. It's just one of those holidays where we all need to just pause, reflect, be thankful for everything we have and the sacrifices that were made on our behalf, so that we have an opportunity to live in this great world where we are. And we all are a civilized group of Christians that follow some rules from some very, very ancient times. And we keep bringing them forward and passing them on to each generation. And that's very important that we do that, because it creates a civilized society.
About your soul.
Right.
I'm not going to get to do that. As soon as we're done here,
soul? Or?
I'm going to the airport, and I'm jumping on a plane. We're heading to Florida.
Are you? Yeah, I knew that.
So because I will miss out on that tradition at home, but I will have it in Florida. Hopefully.
Right. Yep. And I'll cover you.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks.
Because I'm going to use this ham recipe. No BS here. I'm going to use this ham recipe. I have the ham in the fridge, right?
Nice.
All your stores around. I mean, go to the butcher. You're going to get a really good one. But if it's just ham and that's all you're looking for, your big grocery stores this time of year have 88 cents,
yes.
98
oh
cents
my
a pound.
Gosh, they're so cheap, it's
ridiculous.
Right.
So if you do something and you don't like it, you're not out of it.
So how can ham be 88 cents a pound and bacon is $8 a pound?
Right, yeah, and it's only about 6 inches north of the ham where that bacon starts.
Speaking of ham, I saw some, our market in Ada is open.
Right, yep.
Part of Forest Hills Foods,
right.
And it is fantastic. Have you been in there yet?
I have not. I was there when it was the prior owners, but
I'm
not now.
They did it right this time.
Good.
It's a Starbucks. It's the vegetables are beautiful. The meats case, I brought home some of their sausage. They had a beautiful chorizo. I made it for breakfast yesterday morning for me and Jordan. I made some Mexican omelets. It was fantastic.
Cool.
So that's called Ada Fresh Market, I think.
Yeah, it's by Forest Hills. If you're in the Grand Rapids area here, Forest Hills has been a staple in the southeast side of town forever. And this is probably only about 4 or 5 miles from their other store.
Right down in Ada, right by Gravel Bottom.
Right, yeah, one of our friends there.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? You can literally sit in Gravel Bottom, drink a beer, and look at your grocery store. If she calls, you just tell her, hey, I'm on my way to the grocery store. You're not lying.
That's the main thing.
I get it, man. Hey, there's a reason. Easter. Got it. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to go to another part of the barnyard. We might wrestle us a little lamb and see if we can talk about a leg of lamb. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. It just takes some time.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull, we smoke butt. And it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live with you from the Standard Lumber and Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we are talking a little bit about stuff you can put on your grill or smoker for the Easter celebration that's coming up today or tomorrow, depending on where you're listening to us. But anyway, we're on to the lamb. We're moving across the barnyard from the hog where we just did ham. Now we're going to go to the lamb. Lamb shank, leg of lamb, boneless or not boneless, Barbecue Bob? What are you thinking?
Hey, I'm just thinking I'm glad I'm not on the lamb anymore.
Right, yeah. Good to be out of the closet, isn't it? Yeah.
I think I love lamb.
I do too. It's a strong flavor.
I don't think so. The fat is. Yeah, I don't eat the fat anyway.
Right, but I mean, if you leave it on there, it's got a strong flavor. You're right. The meat itself is wonderful.
And, you know, the cool little news I just got recently is one of my friend's kids bought up 60 acres north of me, and they're going to start raising lamb.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have like a really nice fresh supply locally, so we can make all the kibbe we want. I know you love raw kibbe.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, roast lamb dinner for Easter is a Jewish Passover tradition, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. The Greek eat a lot of lamb. I've got a story about that for a little bit later. But they do. So anyway.
I know you love your sheep.
Right. But
so, Christians refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God, and I think there's a tie-in there. Obviously, you know, there are actually people that will claim the first barbecue was sort of discovered by rabbis after they'd sacrifice lambs and burn them on the altar. They would eat. Yeah, they would find that there was cooked lamb there, and they're like, "This is really good over an open fire." No, let's offer a lamb. That one right there.
Yeah.
Right. Let's put her on a spit and just take our time
so,
with her.
Yeah, so they sit there and then they go, "Oh, we're done." Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, everybody go home.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It took some practice though, right?
I think leg of lamb is probably what I'm going to go with.
Bone in.
You could do a rack, but a bone in leg of lamb, it's just beautiful.
Right. And you're gonna get the lower leg, and then you get the thigh, right? And so it's this. It almost looks like a giant chicken thigh,
like a drumstick,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. The way the thing is put together, and my understanding of this, and I've only done it twice. Okay, so I'm by no means an expert, but
I think that makes you an expert.
I want a little oil and the seasoning on the outside of this thing,
definitely.
And I think that I want to sear it a little bit to maybe crisp up that skin, and then I go to indirect after that to get it to the temperature that I want, and make sure that you stick a thermometer in, touch the bone, and then draw back a little bit, because the bone will stay coolest for the longest, and you don't want it overdone. But you also don't want to be able, when you're carving it, to have raw that's down by the bone when the outer part is...
You may or may not.
Put your probe in the right place.
You may or may not. Right. Yeah, depending on... And, you know, you have to do a couple of these to figure it out.
Right.
And that's that brings up a great conversation, in my opinion. It's like, how do you, if you like lamb.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you that most people, once they eat it, will like it.
Right.
But they'll also, if they've never eaten it, they'll shy away from it thinking it's going to be weird. And you just kind of did a spoiler alert. You go, that's strong. It's not. It's really not.
The fat is. The meat is wonderful.
It's just
but
different.
But if you take the... Like on a steak, for example, because there could be a steak on this the top part of this leg that the fat is a little strong, which is why I kind of hit it with some higher heat and crisp it up a little bit, and then slow it down, set it on the offset, and bring it up to temperature. And it's like beef in that you could eat it at 125, 130, but probably closer to 140, 145 is going to be a little bit better for most people. When they're trying, but it's very tender. It's a lamb, right? It's like veal. It's very tender.
Oh my gosh!
It's young and it's wonderful. And
so let's talk about what we're going to do to this thing then.
Okay,
you going to use olive oil?
Sure. And I think and olive oil is the binding agent on the outside, right? That's I'm going to rub it with that, and that'll help it crisp up for one, and it'll help my seasoning stick. I would go to Old World Olive Company and probably grab the garlic.
Exactly.
And put that on there because that's going to be a
any meat, that one's a go-to.
Right. Yep.
A go-to.
Well, we're cooking that.
So this recipe calls for Lowry's and...
The salt, right?
Yes. And freshly ground black pepper, red wine vinegar. That's a must for anything Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
It's always red wine vinegar.
Right.
It's just the profile.
Adds a little acidity, and a little bit of tartness with the red wine.
We're also looking for rosemary, and we're going to go fresh rosemary and fresh thyme. We're not going to use the dried up stuff. So you want to rub that leg with lots of this oil and shake your black pepper over it, and then take that thyme and rosemary and embed it into the meat.
Okay.
Now, I would do a little different.
So it's still on the stem. Are you taking the knife and making a little slit?
You can do that, or you can just stuff it into. There's all sorts of little openings that you can stuff it into. But I do love the look of fresh rosemary stuck all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't joke about that.
I won't.
I know you can see it coming.
I'm just telling you, the only rosemary I like in my kitchen is wearing an apron. I'm just telling you. Not my favorite spice.
Oh, it's for lamb, it's a must.
Okay.
It's a must. All right. And maybe that's why you don't like the fat, because you didn't season it properly.
Well, it could be.
You missed
generally
rosemary.
Generally, I like fat things.
Yeah. Don't I know. So I would probably do it in the reverse of what you said. And
okay.
I would...
Here we go with
these
Bob
directions
again.
I don't like. I did this recipe years ago.
I wrote it, but I don't like it.
Well, I did it years ago, and, you know, sometimes you keep playing with it. I constantly keep playing with it. I seem to never be happy with anything I make. But I would drop this temperature down to maybe 3 or 3 1/4, and I would put it in the smoker first. And okay. And then I would do a reverse sear. I would throw it on the grill just to crispen it up and finish it off at the end.
Okay.
Because I'm going to want a little natural smoke on this, just from a good charcoal. I'm not going to throw flavor wood on it because, let's face it, this is a sanctimonious meal. It's not a barbecue, right? So right. You're not trying to get a smoke ring
and
or
it's
anything.
A delicate piece of meat. I mean, it's young, it's very tender.
It
you
is.
Don't want to dry it
it's
out.
It's very
yep.
mild.
Yep.
You don't want to. You could oversmoke it easily.
Mm-hmm.
But so
you're going to smoke it until the internal temperature gets to what? If you're putting it on the smoker, how do you know when to pull it off?
Well, this recipe is calling for 165, but if I'm going in and I want some rare meat, I'm going to pull it at 130.
Okay.
And 165 on the outside. What you don't want to do is get that outside to 180 or something. It'll be just dry as can be.
Right. You won't enjoy it.
Yeah, but right. You can keep basting it with the basting mixture, which is also on this recipe. I wouldn't say this would be the end-all way to do it. I'm, like you, probably much more apt to make lamb chops.
Right. You know, I have some of those thawed out for Easter tomorrow. And we'll be cooking those on the grill.
What are you going to do to them?
I marinate them overnight in a grill, or a garlic oil for the grill, the garlic itself, and then some thyme and some mint. And I'll put that in a Ziploc and then shrink wrap it down so that's tight, get the air out, right? And let that set in the fridge overnight and then open those up. And I let them drain on a rack because you don't want too much of that oil in there because
right.
It'll flare up
oh,
on
yeah.
your grill. Because these are I call them lolly chops, right?
Yep.
Because they're French, the bones in them.
Yep.
It's a 2 or 3 bite deal.
And they're not real thick.
No, they aren't. They're less than an inch, these particular ones.
So you can leave
quick.
That you can leave that thing in a crown roast and do it the same
sure
way.
Sure you could. Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Just won't marinate as well.
Right. And it's a little bit harder to cook because you can't get to all sides of the meat. But anyway, so lamb chops, we've talked about those on the show before. But coming up next, how about some Easter breakfast? There's not only one meal on Easter, we can do two. So we're going to cover that. Stick with us.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has 2 locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now.
So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
On the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Kitchen Studios in Grand Rapids. And we're talking Easter food, man. And we've hit the ham. We went across the barnyard for the lamb. Now we're going to get out of the barnyard because it's time, chores are done. It's time to have a little breakfast. And what are you thinking about Easter breakfast, Bob?
Welcome back. We have Jethro Bodine with us right now, just in off the farm. Breakfast is a big deal in our house. It's
my favorite meal. I don't grill it a lot. I like a lot of things on the grill, but if I had to pick one, that would be it.
Okay, so here's where I would tell you you can do something fantastic on the grill. Go to Sobey Meats, get their bulk breakfast sausage, and I'm telling you, you'll want to get 4 or 5 pounds of it because when you fire up that grill to make the sausage, people are going to be snatching it as soon as you bring the first platter, and depending on how big the group is you got. But they're going to start grabbing those little patties and running if you've got the seagulls we have. And you're going to down a couple of them while you're grilling. Their breakfast sausage is so good. My mouth's watering thinking about it. But their bulk, Sobey Meats, bulk breakfast sausage, get at least 2 or 3 pounds of it. Form up some nice patties. Make sure you do them just like you do a hamburger, and put a nice indent in it, and then throw them on your grill and grill them up outside. I'm going to tell you that doing bacon on your grill is a mistake.
Sure it is.
It gets all black smoke. And
right.
I don't know.
Well, it's the flare-ups. It's rendering so much grease so quickly that you can't prevent a flare-up. Now, you can do it on a piece of tin foil, but it's just not the same.
Well, if you have a big skillet or a big grill to put on your grill, that's different.
Yeah, now you're using your grill as a heat source. Right.
And now you have a giant grease fire waiting to happen.
Yeah, and a pool of it that you got to deal with when the griddle's 400 degrees and you can't touch it.
So now, you know, there are a lot of people selling now these outdoor griddles, which are very cool, and I don't have one yet.
Uh-oh. Bob's jonesing for an Easter gift. I can smell it. I can smell it just like I could smell the sausage. But the sausage patties, they have it's sausage. It's got fat in it, right?
Yep.
But the patty don't bleed out the fat like a strip of bacon does.
No.
Right?
No.
And so it'll sear up and it'll
I always
like
Sobey's sausage, but when I did them on the grill, I discovered something that was like the most perfect breakfast sausage I could ever ask for.
Right. And they crisp up a little bit. Crunchy on the outside
Their breakfast sausage is quite lean. So you're not going to have any flare-ups. It's just not going to happen.
Yep.
They do such a fussy job with all their meats that, that's really good. But the other thing I like once in a while, and apparently my doctor said I shouldn't be doing this.
See him once a year. You only got to listen. You'll forget another week that he even saw him.
I love pancakes.
Right.
And I don't eat pancakes out much because most people mess them up. Most restaurants buy the same mix from Gordon Foods or whoever, Cisco Frostpack. They add water, and they make this big, thick thing that sucks up so much pancake syrup that you can't even
eat it. It's a sugar buzz.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
Now, if you want great pancakes, go to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah?
They're perfect.
What's the difference?
They're perfect. They're thin and crispy, and they're just beautiful. And I buy my mix there. Okay. But if I can't get mix there because we run out of it every time we buy it, I'll get that Krusty's, they're basic, and I'll add some cornmeal to it. I'll do about 20% cornmeal. to that Krusty's mix. And I'm going to add a fair amount of oil, and I'm going to put eggs in it, even though it says don't.
And once again, you're learning the secrets of the recipe that must be changed from Bob.
Well, don't you mess with everything you make?
Most.
Yeah. You got to tweak it.
Yep.
But the problem with most mixes for pancakes is they're just kind of plain and doughy.
Right.
They're just not. Aunt Jemima's okay. You add a little cornmeal mix to it, and it's going to be perfect. And now is the perfect time to get
a little baking powder makes them raise a little bit and get a little bit fluffier.
You can.
I think.
Yep. But there's all sorts of fresh maple syrup out right now. I mean, all sorts of it.
Right. Just a little bit west of Shartucky, where I grew up, there's a little burg called Vermontville.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a maple syrup festival next weekend, not this Easter weekend, but next weekend. Where all of the local syrup makers come together, and it's just a little hometown festival. It's been going on for my entire life, if not a lot longer.
Well, Michigan puts out a ton of maple syrup.
They do. They do. And this has been a short season with all this real warm weather because the sap runs up, and if it freezes at night, it goes back down in the root, gets warm in the day. Well, we haven't had those freezing nights and warm days because that's when the sap runs. Then sap is in the tree going up to feed the leaves.
Are they complaining about the amount of sap they got?
Yes. And when we get these big warm days like this and it stays warm at night, it doesn't go back down. So it shortens the season.
So you got to cut a maple tree down.
Well, no, you don't. But then you only get sap 1 year. But my point is that there's a chance that it will be more expensive this year because it takes, depending on the sugar content of the tree, somewhere around 70 to 80 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Isn't that crazy?
Because you're boiling it down to make
crazy?
It thick. It's kind of like the same thing you do with balsamic vinegar to make a reduction, right? Only this is Mother Nature's sap that it boils down to the syrup. But a cool little festival. The only reason I remember that it's always the last week in April is my brother went over there when I was 12, so some 30, right, some years ago, and on his motorcycle, and got in an accident and passed away. But it was from, he was at the
that'd be 40-some years ago.
Yeah, right. Yes, it would be. Right. Wow. Time flies. But anyway, it's always the last weekend in April, the last full weekend in April, the Maple Valley Syrup Festival.
There you go. There's your infomercial, like, Vermontville.
Hey, yeah.
Here's a cool. Here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan
Sorry,
has.
Took you down a tangent
No. I like that. I do enough of them myself. But Michigan produces a ton of maple syrup.
Yes, we do.
And the UP, the eastern end of the UP, produces more maple syrup than all of Vermont.
Right.
There's a fun fact.
Yeah, lots and lots of maples.
We had that girl on the show.
Right, I remember that.
She threw that at us.
Right. Speaking of maple syrup, Bob, this would be a sweet time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Oh, I feel like a man of sweet man. Today's man law is really important, and you just got a dog, so pay attention, Choppy.
I'm in it, but I'm gonna. I got an editorial at the end.
Really
about your monkey.
The dressing of any pet for any reason is not acceptable. Any garment that is not part of the animal shall not be allowed to be attached to that animal. Exceptions are collars, leashes, etc. Exception to this rules are monkeys.
Right. You gotta dress your monkey.
You do.
Right?
Ding, ding,
yeah,
ding.
Right. Now, let me tell you that my exception to this is, as you mentioned, I just got a pup this week. And we got her from a rescue organization, and they had to put her on a plane.
Yep.
And a private pilot needed hours, right?
Right.
So he does this missional stuff that he does. And he flies my dog in from Minneapolis.
First class.
Right. He flies
he's
my dog.
He's already got an attitude.
No, he's got it. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, he was. We got a picture of him on the pilot's chest when he was flying over. That was pretty cool. But anyway, the plane is not heated. So they went to a baby clothing store and bought an outfit and put the top of it over the dog. So the dog stayed warm because when he's up in the air, the plane is some like 40 degrees. So my dog came with a little sweatshirt on it. But it was quickly taken off. So that's my exception to the rule.
We're being produced today by Brian Fongers And Brian, is that an allowable exception?
Yeah.
Okay. Fongers.
All right. Thanks, man.
Fong says
I still have my man card.
Yes, you do. So the last little breakfast tip here, scrambled eggs. My wife is a freak about scrambled eggs, mm-hmm. and she's complained for years. So I talked to some chefs and slowed my heat way down. My new Thermador range has the on and off intermittent burner, and add water to your eggs.
Really?
And do them really low heat, add water, cover them, and they'll turn out nice and fluffy.
Wow. Sounds good. Coming up next, if you want fluffy red cabbage, we'll braise it.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're going to bring this train to the station. My segues are just, they need some work this week.
Good comic relief, buddy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. It is The Grilling Guys. Like us on Facebook, / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. And I wanted to mention one other thing. I got my tickets for Trower on StubHub.
Okay.
When I got to the 20 Monroe Live or whatever it's called, they had a real tough time figuring out where my seats were. So they put me in some other ones. Well, as soon as the show starts, sure, three guys come up and go, hey, you're in our seats.
Right.
So I went and got this cute little girl who's running around with a flashlight. And she took me down and she said, here's your seats. You're going to like them. I was in the front row.
Really?
Trower's like in his 70s. This guy is still one of the greatest electric guitarists of all times.
Right.
We had a fantastic night. My buddy Scott Hevelhurst and my brother Gary and a bunch of guys went, and we had a ball, but Scott and I had the best seats. Those guys, and we got them half price on StubHub.
Oh, really?
So cheers to StubHub.
There you go. Well, it usually doesn't work that way.
That was so nice. So here's something really cool for a very traditional Easter side, because you were asking for sides. Braised red cabbage, and my mother used to make this every year. My mother loved Polish food for some reason. She was Swedish, but Swedish and French, she loved Polish.
Was your
food.
Dad Polish?
No, oh. Not at all. He's a big Finn with a big head.
Oh, that's where that came from.
Yeah, that's right. So the Poles call this, it looks like Czerwana Kapusta Zasmana, but it's not the kapusta I'm used to. But it is a form of cabbage, so kapusta must be cabbage in
sure
Polish.
It is. Yep, little chunks of meat.
And Sobeys makes a really good one.
Yes,
I take to deer
yes,
camp. But this is going to be red cabbage, and what you want to do is shred it, take some onion, and throw that shredded cabbage in a pan, saute it with a little EVO vegetable oil, whatever you want to use. I might try a little bit of butter, but then you're going to just saute it quickly, and you're going to pour in a little vinegar and sugar, salt, and pepper and put a lid on it and turn the heat way down, and you're going to let that simmer until it's at a doneness that you're happy with, because it's subjective, right? It's
right.
Cabbage. It's a pretty tough vegetable. You're
right.
Going to have to beat on it. It's not as tough as an artichoke. You want to talk about artichokes?
I think we already covered those. Yeah. To my dismay. We did. But no, cabbage is good.
This
be careful.
Is really
it's a,
good.
It's one of nature's laxatives. So I wouldn't hit it too hard with that vinegar in there and stuff because you might not enjoy your Easter afternoon.
Why do you always have to go to the exit?
I didn't go to any edge. This just a public service announcement there on red cabbage. But it's good. I like cabbage.
Stories.
You know, it's like coleslaw.
You want to tell a poop story?
No. Okay. Good. Dog's doing good that way. She's going outside.
So finish telling us about Lucy.
Well, Lucy is a half English pointer and a half golden retriever.
Wow.
And if she grows into them there feet, she's
going to
be a big dog.
Should be beautiful.
She's golden retriever colored with a white racing stripe up the front and four white paws and a little white tip on the tail. So we got a good one.
Well, you were going to have to take the time to teach it to hunt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you bring that out in them. They either have it or they don't. That's an instinct thing.
Okay.
You can't teach them that. But really
take time.
What a good hunting dog does is they mind. So it's the obedience that I need to train them in. Half of the training is me doing the same thing over and over and over, and that's really hard to do because you have to be so disciplined to not react to something the dog's doing but pull them back in and have them do what you want to do. But anyway,
have a happy Easter from the Grilling Guys.
That's right. Be safe out there, and we'll talk with you next week.